Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has already been just being in the house of the Lord. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you'd look with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 9. Matthew in chapter 9. We're finishing up our prayer and fasting awareness month here in the month of April. And we've seen quite a bit as far as what the Bible has to say about prayer and fasting. Last week, we even looked at the Old Testament when King David's fast, he fasted for his son, understanding that no matter how hard and how long you might fast, God will never go opposite his will because of a fast. But fasting will give you a peace concerning God's will, whatever that might be. And so this morning, we're looking here in Matthew chapter 9. If you'd stand with me, we're going to be reading just two verses, verse 14 and verse 15. Matthew chapter 9. The Bible says here in verse 14, "Then came to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." So let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you this morning, we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege it has been just being in church. Thank you, Father, for all that we've already received, and thank you most of all for your presence in this place. Now, as we look into this passage of Scripture, Lord, I know that there's a message that you have for each one of us. I just pray, God, that you would give each one here that ear to hear what you have for them. Pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The disciples of John and fasting. That's what we're looking at here when it comes to this passage of Scripture, and it's also found in two of the other Gospels. But here in the book of Matthew, we find that the disciples of John come to the Lord Jesus Christ and question him about his disciples and their fasting. Now, the blessing about this is we do know that fasting is a New Testament command. We understand as we study the Scriptures and the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ, we know it was an Old Testament. There's much in the Old Testament, as we preached on last week with David fasting, understanding the power of not only prayer, but the power of fasting in the Old Testament. But here we find that John the Baptist, and John was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was preparing the way. So he was teaching the very same things that Jesus would teach when he came. John was preparing his disciples to look to Jesus Christ as the Messiah. As he would pass off the scene, he would very clearly say that he must increase, I must decrease. And so, but we find here that John had taught his apostle, his disciples, the very same truth in fasting. And we find the disciples of John were fasting and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus had already been preaching on fasting and the understanding it's an extension to prayer. If you look back to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, on his Sermon on the Mount, he included this. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, Jesus says, "Moreover, when you fast." Now, he's teaching them on the Sermon on the Mount the things that were connected to Christianity. And he didn't say to them, "If you fast," but he says, "Moreover, when you fast," presenting to them that it is the will of God. It is something that at some point in your Christian life that you're going to need to understand this and make an application of. So he says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast." You're not fasting to be seen of man. He says, "but unto thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So here we find that Jesus is very clearly revealing that your fast is between an individual and God. Now, in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, there has been times when the believers have called upon others to join them in a fast. And as a lighthouse in this month of the prayer and fasting awareness, we're asking you to join us in this. But you'll hear me say all through the month of April that the fast is between you and God. It is something that God has given to you. And as you have been led of the Spirit of God, not only to pray for special needs, but at some point when you realize that you need to bring in that extension of prayer, which is fasting, over something that you are looking to God for an answer for. The definition of fasting, it is the abstaining from food or pleasures for a period of time for spiritual reasons and to have an understanding of the power of God. Fasting acknowledges that the answer to prayer is more important than what I am fasting. It makes me be committed to this prayer that I am asking God to answer. It is something that I show myself, God already knows, but I show myself how important this answer to this prayer is. And I'm willing to do whatever that I can do to increase, okay, the possibility of God answering this particular prayer. Job, in Job chapter 23 and verse 12, he said this. He says, I have esteemed the words of his mouth. He said, I want to hear from God more than my necessary food. We find that Job, going through what he was going through, he said, it's more important for me to hear from God, for God to work in my prayers. That's more important to me than even eating food, sustaining my life by eating food. I would sacrifice eating food and sacrifice whatever it takes to hear from God. To hear from God is what I'm looking for. That's what I desire. That's what the fast. A fast is acknowledging that the answer to prayer is more important than what I am fasting. And the fast is between you and God, whatever that might be. Again, through the month of April, we have been suggesting different things just to make us aware of that. What you can fast, for food, pleasures, whatever it is, the greater the sacrifice, the more committed the prayer. So fasting is a New Testament command. When thou fast. He also said here in our text, he says, when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Fasting is a New Testament command. John's disciples were blinded to why they were fasting. Now, John had taught them about fasting. Now, as a matter of fact, at this particular time, John was still alive. He was in prison. He had not been beheaded as of yet. John the Baptist is in prison. More than likely, the disciples of John were fasting that God would deliver John from prison, that God would deliver him and not allow him to have his life taken from him. And so when they come upon Jesus and his disciples, they saw his disciples feasting. And in their minds, they're thinking, you ought to be fasting. But what they actually were looking at, they said to Jesus, why do we fast and your disciples not? So they were discontent with why they were fasting. Sometimes people get discontented when they look to somebody else and what they're doing. You mean you didn't go to church on Sunday? Well, why do I have to go to church if they don't go to church on Sunday? Are you going to church because somebody else went to church? John's disciples were blinded to why they were fasting. It seems that John's disciples became discontent when they observed Jesus' disciples fasting, and in their minds are saying, it's not fair. I was raised in a family with a lot of siblings. You know, I've got raised, and of course it went through possibly three different sets of children, but there's 13 in my family. I'm the youngest of seven boys and six sisters. And so you hear this often. Well, why does he have to and I? Why does he get to do that and I don't? And you look around and, Dad, why you're taking up for the girls and they don't have to do what you're telling me to do, and why are you doing that? And sometimes we get discontented even in our own home lives when we feel like that somebody else is getting by with something that we're not, or they get something that we don't get. And we start saying, why me? Why do I have to do this? So the reality was they didn't have to. And if you're doing it because somebody else is doing it and you feel like you're forced to do it, it's really not a spiritual fast. You're missing out on the blessings of what God would have us to do. They based their obedience on what others were doing. And we need to base our obedience on pleasing God. The idea there of attending church services. Now, it's an encouragement when I tell people, you're an encouragement to everyone around you when they come and see you in church. It is a blessing to be supported and understand that everybody views coming to church on the Lord's Day something that is very important, and you're willing to sacrifice maybe going to the lakes, or sacrifice doing this, sacrifice sleeping in, whatever it might be, because you realize it is obedience to God that I come to church. It's because I'm not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. It is God's will for this New Testament church age for all believers to acknowledge the Lord's Day and be in church on Sunday. That's if we can be in church, then God would have us to be in church. If you want the blessing of that, you do it to obey God, to please God. That means if I'm the only one coming to church, I'm going to come to church. I don't pray because I'm looking around to see if somebody else is praying. I don't fast because I'm looking around to find out who else is fasting. No, if it's a will of God for me to pray, then I'm just going to pray, no matter if anybody else prays or not. If it's the will of God for me to add fasting to my prayer, I don't care if anybody else is doing it or not. I am going to add fasting to my prayer because it's obedience to God. And there is blessings when I am obeying God. I'm going to read my Bible whether anybody else is reading their Bible or not. Now, I'm going to encourage as many that I can to read your Bible, to gain in the knowledge and understanding of the Word of God. But I'm going to do that whether anybody else does or not, because my reading my Bible is between my Savior and myself. It is what I'm doing to please Him, to serve Him. I'm going to be a witness because God would have me to be a witness. I'm going to tell others about Jesus Christ. If no one else is telling the Lord, is spreading the gospel, is witnessing for Christ, I'm not doing it because everyone else is doing it. I'm doing it because it's obedience to God. The disciples of John were blinded to why they were fasting. And when they saw the disciples of Jesus, in their minds, getting by with something, that's not fair. It reveals their ignorance of why they were fasting. Our contentment ought not be determined by what somebody else is doing. Colossians in chapter 3 and verse 7. Colossians in chapter 3. Verse 17 says this, "And whatsoever ye do, whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Giving thanks to God for the opportunity I have to be in church. Giving thanks to God for the opportunity I have to use the tool of prayer that He's given to me. giving thanks to God for the opportunity I have to add fasting to my prayer life, to be able to have the very words of God preserved for me that I can read the Bible. All the things that God would have us to do, I'm going to be thankful because it is a privilege to be able to do what God would have me to do in obedience to Him. It's not about looking around to find out who else is doing it. John's disciples were blinded. They were also discontent because they had grouped themselves with the Pharisees. Did you catch that? Go back there with me. In our text here in Matthew chapter 9. Now, I don't know if this made them feel like it added more credence to what they were saying and what they were doing. Because the disciples of John said, why do we and the Pharisees? Did that help their cause? Sometimes people will say, well, everybody thinks that. Everybody? Well, yeah. Name me somebody. Well, my wife. My husband. Name me somebody else. Well, but we say everybody because we think, well, it adds to the point I'm trying to make. Even if it's a lie, it adds to. So they came because they were discontent, and they grouped themselves with the Pharisees. When they said, and the Pharisees fast often, but thy disciples fast not. Fasting is to be a one-on-one with God. The Pharisees had made it a ritual. There's so many religious rituals. Are you following a ritual? Are you following the commands of God? Jesus spoke about that as well back in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7 when it comes to praying. He said, prayer is a one-on-one with me. It gives you personally an opportunity to talk to a creator God through Jesus Christ, your Savior. And he says much about that, but in this idea of praying, he says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7, when ye pray, use not vain repetition. You're not just to repeat words over and over again, thinking that repeating these words is communicating with God. That is not. That's religion. That's a ritual. That was developed by human philosophy of religion. The Bible very clearly says when ye pray, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to those that have received him as their personal Lord and Savior. He says, but when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Just over and over again. Listen to me. That's not why God had designed the tool of prayer. He designed the tool of prayer for his children to be able to talk with God. He would go on and say, don't call anybody Father on this earth in a spiritual sense. I am your heavenly Father. And you are speaking to me as your Father. You're my child. And I want you to communicate with me as any son or daughter would their father. Yeah. Matthew chapter 23, he goes on in this very same understanding of not following after rituals and man's design for religion. But Matthew chapter 23, verse 1, he says this. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit at Moses' seat. This is religion of the day. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments. They're showing themselves and they're making it a scene by what they look like. And love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. And greetings in the markets and to be called of men rabbi or master. But be ye not called rabbi. For one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. You don't even allow men to get a hold of God because you've got them all bogged down with rituals. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye that them that are entering to go in. You're not actually communicating with God yourself, and by teaching them all these rituals and all these worldly ways, you're keeping them from having a communication and a fellowship and a walk with God. We do not need religion today. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, which introduces us to a relationship with God the Father, which wants to communicate with us. And we communicate with God the Father through prayer and sometimes through prayer and fasting as we would our own family. That's reality. That's what's going on. They were discontent because they were just looking at fasting as a ritual. Prayer, nor prayer and fast, is not a ritual. It's something God designed for us to communicate with Him. Yeah. So we find that this is what they come to Jesus with this question. Jesus answers this. Go back there with me. Jesus' answer. I love His answer. Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? Mourning is lacking. As they would mourn, they would have to cry out and beg God for something. They were mourning the loss or the mourning the need. And so they would fast to be able to have more power in their prayer life. But he said, can you get any closer to God than when he was walking with them? Can the children of the bride chamber, okay, he's using this, mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? We pray to draw closer to God. We fast to be able to have more power in our prayer so that we can get in touch with God and get God to answer our prayer. That is what the prayer and fasting is designed for. Can we get any closer to God if he's walking hand in hand with us? Jesus, God, was manifest in the flesh. He was there. There was no need for his disciples to fast because they were walking with him. They were observing his power. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him heal the lame. They saw him raise the dead. They experienced him calming the waves and the wind. Even the waves and the winds obeyed his voice. His disciples were extremely excited about witnessing his power. Can I tell you this morning, if Jesus were here physically, I wouldn't be praying and I wouldn't be fasting. I would be holding on to his coattails. If Jesus was walking here and he was, if I was back in the day when Christ walked the earth, I wouldn't be praying, I wouldn't be fasting. I would just be, stay as close to him as possible because he's God. How can you get any closer? Jesus said to them, I'm here with them. They have no need to pray. They have no need to fast because I'm with them. Martha didn't quite understand that either. Luke in chapter 10. Luke in chapter 10, Martha and Mary. Now Martha gets a lot of criticism here. She was concerned about a lot of things, but she lost sight of God being present with them. And what an opportunity. And she went to Jesus and asked him to tell Mary to come help her. And what Jesus said here in chapter 10 and verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. You're concerned about a lot of things going on, and in itself, any other time, that would be notable. That would be something that I would want you to do. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. When you have an opportunity to walk with God, what's more important? There is nothing more important. So he answers us, you've been taught right. John taught you right that fasting is a part of the Christian life. Fasting is something that you want to add to your prayer life. But do it as unto the Lord. Don't do it as a ritual. Don't be looking around to who else is fasting and who else is praying and who else is going to church, who else is being obedient. He said, first of all, you're blinded there. If you're fasting, it ought to be because God led you to a fast. And the second part of his answer to them, and we'll close with this, back over in Matthew chapter 9. But the days will come. He was looking ahead at New Testament Christianity. He was looking ahead to when he would be crucified. He would be put in a tomb. And they would be troubled. He would no longer be walking with them. Then they would have to rely upon what he would leave them. Prayer and fasting. The days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. Days will come in our lives. As I've often said through this month, sometimes just being in church, reading your Bible, and praying, God is able to answer those prayers and you're content with whatever it is going on. But there's going to come a time where you're going to need to understand the power of prayer and fasting, and you need to add fasting to your prayers. Days will come, and then shall they fast. It might be that you need God's intervention to overcome sin. Satan would love to keep you bound by sin. It might be that some sin has a stronghold in your life, and you want to get rid of it. You want to turn away from it. You've tried coming to church, and you've tried reading your Bible, and you've tried praying. But you haven't been able to overcome that. It might be that kind is only going to be defeated by prayer and fasting. But you can defeat it. You can overcome that temptation. You can overcome that sin, that addiction, whatever it might be. It might take fasting. It might be that you're facing trials, health issues, financial issues, maybe relationship problems. You tried going to church, and you have somewhat prayed, but you've not been able to overcome it. It still is overcoming you. It's overwhelming you. Could be it's time for that fast. Could be that you don't take away, you just add to. You don't take away from church, you need church. You don't take away from Bible reading, you need Bible reading. You don't take away from prayer, you need to pray. But God says that this kind, whatever you're facing today, you might need to add that fasting to it. Be a little bit more committed to your desire for God's intervention to get that prayer answered. Psalms 15, verse 15 says this. The psalmist says, call unto me in the days of trouble. Call unto me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Call unto God. Be even more committed to that prayer by opening the door to a season of fasting. God wants to give you the victory. You just got to follow His commands. Prayer and fasting. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. As John's disciples were aware of the commandment to fast, but they were blinded to the reason for the fasting. You might be aware of the commandment to fast. Don't be blinded by the reason behind it. It might be the Spirit of God's leading you into a season of not only prayer, but a season of prayer and fasting. Father, we bow before you. We love you, Lord God, and thank you for loving us. We thank you for the truths of your word and for this privilege that you have revealed to us in the power of prayer and the extended power of prayer and fasting. And I pray, God, that we would learn this valuable spiritual truth, and we would have it to look to and to yield to whenever needed. Bless now in this invitation, work in our midst, for it's in Jesus' name we pray.